You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. It didn't look very happy this morning. Well, the markets in general didn't look very happy. And then suddenly, when people woke up, they thought, well, let's do what we've done for the last 10, 12 years. Buy everything. Buy the dips.
Yeah, evening, Lindsay. That's exactly what happened. And we had a really nasty sort of Asian session. Japan down over 4% at one point. A lot of risk assets. We had iron ore down 6% at one point after the Chinese government spoke about looking at sort of speculative positions that we're having in iron ore. Bitcoin down 7-8% at its worst. The S&Ps were down 0.5% of the session lows in the last couple of weeks. And then, yeah, as you said, very, very odd. Sort of mid-morning as everyone started to wake up, they realized that the last sell-off the last day or two was a buying opportunity, and they came buying pretty aggressively. And in fact, if I look now, the NASDAQ higher than it was pre-Powell's comments on inflation. Quite bizarre, actually. But anyway, this is what it is.
And did you see the US 10-year bond this morning when it was around about 135, 136? I mean, can you believe that? It was 175 a couple of months ago. Then it started to rally a bit of the yield, that is, yield going up, the bond markets coming down. And went to 158 after the Fed on Wednesday night and Thursday morning, and suddenly 135.5. I can't fathom it.
No one can, and I guess that's why you might be seeing these strange sort of swings, because I've been trying to read the narrative on what transpired the last sort of 4 or 5 days, and it's anything from the bonds are doing this because possibly there's a bit of a short squeeze, people caught a bit wrong-footed, but it's certainly not behaving like anything should behave. But all intents and purposes, it looks like the Fed were caught a little bit sort of wrong-footed. They wheeled out a couple of their talking heads the last few days, and Kaplan and a few other sort of deputy chairmen. And they were quite hawkish, and yet despite the hawkish tone, despite the dollar rallying the most in over 6 months, and some of the short end of the curve really spiking, the actual U.S. yield curve had its biggest in years. It makes no sense, and I challenge anyone to find a website out there that actually knows what's going on, because from the Financial Times, the Wall Street Journal, to my Reuters, Bloomberg, you name it, no one can understand what is going on. And I think that is half the problem here. We actually – it's not moving on anything but technicals and just narratives from one tweet to the next at the moment.
And the volumes must be also quite thin, which exacerbates the situation that you've just described.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had chunky volume on Friday, as we know, it was mid sort of 35, 36 sort of billion value trade on the JSE. And NYSE had a record day on Friday. In fact, triple witching or quadruple, as it's known, it was the biggest option volume in history on Friday. So massive.
Gosh.
Back to today, the sort of fallen off a cliff. Yeah, we're back to our normal 20-odd billion value traded, steady as you go. And look, the South African market finished on the flat line, but the overseas markets and European markets are certainly indicating they want to rally back up to all-time highs again.
Yeah, looking like it. Let's come back to South Africa now. Stock Exchange News Service, big news of the day. They changed their day of reporting, Naspers, that is, and Prosus, normally on a Friday, came out on a Monday today. And I was talking to David Shapiro about this and a couple of other people off air about it. And the numbers are respectable. But again, the thing that really struck me when I tried to read the results was the convoluted Prosus, Naspers, Tencent situation. I mean, I'm sure the clever people understand it. It's not simple for a normal investor to know whether to buy Prosus, whether to buy Naspers, or whether to buy Tencent if you've got some overseas money.
No, it's not easy. It really is. Look, I will tell you this. Naspers as a holding company and what they've basically got under the hood, all these unlisted entities and etc. I mean, not very few people understand half of it. It really is that complicated. But if you actually just take a step back and just look at the company as a whole, its business, I mean, that was the strongest financial performance to date. Yes. You know, those numbers were really impressive. I mean, the group as a whole now serves more than 2 billion users globally. I mean, it really is it's a fascinating business. You can see more and more heading towards that sort of food delivery, the food segment business growing up 127%, I think the headline number I saw was. Same with goes to the e-commerce as well, doubling almost every year. So really is an extraordinary business. How you value it? I think the jury's out. I mean, I don't think we've got enough time on the show. I mean, our clever guys this morning said they're going to need a couple of days even to get back to us at Sunderland to try and give an answer to this business on the back of these earnings.
Yeah, but anyway, the market's also, I think, feels the same way because it hasn't gone 2 or 3% in either direction, which normally you would get after a Naspers process.
No, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So people are actually sitting down and saying, what on earth is going on here? What is the structure? What is the impact of the complicated structure on the investment or the attitude towards these companies of the investment community, which is, it's not as important as results, but it's certainly important because if you don't understand it, if there isn't transparency and it's all a little bit spider's web-like, then yeah, maybe just stand back a little bit. I don't know if you agree with that.
I'm on the fence here because it, as a business, Naspers, and it's the history of what it's done to shareholders in South Africa and to pension funds and the like. I mean, you've heard the old adage, I mean, how many analysts you speak that they talk about stripping the Naspers story out of the JSE All Share. Mm. We've been significantly worse off of last year. So it's been a huge contributor to pensions and to people's wealth, quite frankly. And as the little bit that you can sort of fathom and understand, and the businesses they are involved in, excluding obviously the story of Tencent, it is one of those shares that does hold earnings for the future. I think the problem is the jury's out with Mr. van Dijk and his current board, is if they can realize value and close that infamous gap, which is now sitting about 45% wide from its certainly from its value of its holding of 10 cent, and we just don't know if it can do that. Shareholders in South Africa are looking for that next 10 cent, but I think they need to come to grips with the fact it's not going to happen. But as a whole, Lindsay, the business itself, what it does offer, I think it does offer a couple of shares that have significant upside.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices now. Starting with the currencies, the dollar rand was 14.40 this morning. It's now currently 14.24. The British pound against the rand, 19.82. The euro rand, 16.97. Euro dollar, 1.1914. The dollar has weakened by around about 0.4% in the last few hours. The gold price is now, gosh, it's actually doing rather well. It's up $22 an ounce to $1786 an ounce. Platinum is also doing well, up $13 to $1048. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Palladium is doing double well. It's up 4.4%, $110 higher at $2,573.
And crude oil is also doing rather well. It's up 1.3%. That's the West Texas brand at $72.61. Brent crude oil is up 0.9% to $74.17 per barrel. Bitcoin is $32,854, which I don't know what time frame this is, but anyway, it's 4% weaker. The US 10-year Treasury, having been 1.354 this morning, is now 1.467. Let's call it 147. So a 10-year bond will yield you 1.47%. The South African bond market has had an unpleasant day, 9.09%. I think it was in the 860s last week. I stand to correction on that one. But anyway, the point is that the South African bond yield has rallied and the bond market has fallen because they go in opposite directions, obviously. S&P 500 futures, I've got, gosh, look at this thing now, vaulting its way through 4,200, 4,206, up 1.25%. So the market's suddenly doing rather well. The CRB commodity index is 218.75, which is better. And I keep on banging on about the fact that the big long-term trend is still up for commodities until otherwise advised. We spoke about Prosus and Naspers. What about PPC? It's not one you watch, probably too small for you, Nick.
Yeah, look, a lot of the punters in it, so I don't really keep an eye on it. What was the headlines today?
They came out with some numbers and the share price up over 8%. So, yeah, not doing too badly. I didn't read the results, but I just look at the price, and they obviously must have been better than expected, whether it be top line or bottom line, I don't know. But I think it actually could be top line. I think there's some revenue coming in there as people start to go out and buy cement again and rebuild their businesses and their lives.
Yeah, no, didn't miss that one. Yeah.
All right, never mind. Let's have a look at some of the movers on the JSE Securities Exchange, because I've got not again. When is Textainer not going to be in either the top five or the bottom five? So I'm going to completely ignore that from now on and write a letter to management and say, please, could you do something about your volatility? Capital and Counties, let's start there, up 4.3%, South 32 up 4.25%, Supergroup is a 3% winner, and Bytes up 2.9%. Nothing that really grabs my attention there. On the downside, two REs, Roynet down 4.5%, and Renet down 3.9%. The MC Group, having spoken about Naspers earlier on, down 3.3%, Vukile down 3.2%, and Karoo down 3%. Nothing much to get your teeth into there, Nick. Anything you saw outside of those?
I guess the sort of a bit of a hangover from Mr. Ramaphosa's speech last week, and the hospitality industry in particular here in South Africa. You know, we are in lockdown, and I made the decision, as I said last week, to actually pack up, and I'm working from home for the next 2 weeks while I wait for this this COVID increase to settle down in Gauteng. So, I mean, that caught my eye. Soga Sun, top of my leaderboard on the All Share, down 7.74%. Soga Sun Hotels, Soga Sun Gaming down 3.54%, Sun International, that was a 3.5% loser today as well. So just starting to, unfortunately, get a little bit of retracement. These stocks have all bounced quite hard from their lows back in March, as we certainly thought we saw light in the tunnel on a global scale. Maybe South Africa, the light's a little bit further away than we think, and I think a little bit of reality setting. And so that caught my eye today on the close.
What is the status of lockdown in South Africa at the moment? Can you go down the pub until 10 o'clock at night? Can you sit inside at a bar? Can you go inside and have a meal? Or is it all outside as it is in the Netherlands at the moment? What's going on?
All of the above, actually. So we're in what we call level three. So the main sort of standouts are the ability to buy alcohol after hours. Mm. So you can only buy alcohol Monday to Thursday. You can't buy it from Friday to Sunday night. So there's no alcohol for sale from as the English call it, the off licenses, the offies. Mm. But you can still have a glass of wine or a bottle of wine in a restaurant. You can still go out, although the gatherings have been limited to a half of what normal 50% under. So I mean, it's actually not a massive thing. And in fact, it's for the first time, there's been a little bit of a pushback from the teachers in particular, because it seems like this latest wave in South Africa is coming from the schools. They reintroduced sort of full contact sports a couple of weeks ago, obviously a little bit too early than they should have done. And it seems to be coming out of the schools. That's what we're sort of hearing. And there's been a push out today. We were expecting an announcement, but they didn't, that they were hoping that they're going to lock the schools down again. So, so a lot of people, funny enough, with everything going on, people saying they probably wasn't as harsh as they should have been. They were expecting them to be tighter, given the size of the wave we had. In fact, I think we were 8,000 COVID cases in Gauteng yesterday, which, to put that in perspective, that's not South Africa, that's Gauteng, the sort of economic hub here in South Africa. That 8,000 cases made up half of the entire caseload in the whole of Africa. So, I mean, it is quite a worrying spike in this third wave that's happening here.
Yes, it is. And do you think that there might be some kind of U-turn from Cyril Ramaphosa and his team if this situation that you've just described continues? And what will be the reaction of A, the markets, and B, man and woman in the street, because they're fed up with it by now, I would imagine?
Yeah, look, I don't think they can. And I think there's a real race now between lockdown and vaccines. I mean, they are really pushing hard. We've had so many sort of hiccups and stumbling blocks and vaccines that have gone amiss, and tainted vaccines are coming out of Baltimore factories, and you name it, Lindsay, it's gone wrong. And they really are pushing hard. They're rolling out with their second or third stage now. I'm not sure what the exact number is, where prison wardens, police officers, school teachers have now joined the queue in line. after the sort of the 60 plus. We are at that next stage already, despite the fact there's not many vaccines available in South Africa. They seem intent on pushing through. So, I mean, that's the rate. I don't think they're going to put us in much of a lockdown. I think they're hoping that vaccine race, the rollout, will beat the third wave for now. So fingers crossed anyway.
Okay, give us the JSE closing indices, please, plus the volume, plus the latest are in the United States of America. Maybe start there.
Yeah, so out of America, we are sitting at S&P futures 4205. That's up 1.25%. That is, give or take, just 1% from the all-time high. We've made back a huge amount pre-Fed from last Wednesday, post-Fed more like it. And then on the, we're looking at the Dow Jones having a cracking day as people are getting back into value shares, 1.6% higher, 33,681, 526 points higher on the Dow. NASDAQ also not as much, up 0.5%, but also in the green. And European stocks, incidentally, have just closed 2 minutes ago. So the Euro stocks up comfortably, the DAX also up comfortably. Eurostoxx up 0.73% and the DAX in Germany up just shy of 1%. So really strong. Even France's CAC 40 up 0.3% and the FTSE closing up 0.62. As I said, they all closed 2 minutes ago. Closer to home, us lots, JSE All Share, we had the following closing prices. All Share closing at 65,147. That's just marginally down. Made back all the losses from this morning, just closing down 0.11%. Top 40, as expected, in kind, also just down 5 basis points, just 30 points lower, 59,472. That bounce back led back by industrials up 0.68%, consumer non-cyclicals up 0.65%. Tech shares with some nice solid numbers out of Naspers and Process, leading that index higher by 0.63%. Basic materials up 0.3%. 9%, and on the downside, a little bit of laggers. Real estate down 0.31. Financials, another one. This is also doesn't make sense. Financials, even with this fight back in the rand, was down 0.8%. And healthcare shares down 1.61%. Value traded, we seem to be back to normal service. 20.682 billion value traded.
Very good indeed. If you draw a line through the futures closeout value, and the day after, which was Friday, when it was 30 something. Billion plus today. It's a pretty good 3-day average we've had. So long may that continue. Nick Kunze is from Sandland Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with me with David Shapiro for the 5 o'clock shadow tomorrow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.